This is from Stuck With You by Trish Jensen.
You are a snake.
And you are a shrew.
She'd take great offense at that if it weren't so damnable true.
Your client is not getting Doodle. He bought and paid for Doodle, he said. As a gift for Jasmine, and her name is all over the ownership papers.
Jasmine stated unequivocally that she'd have preferred jewelry.
They separated long enough to sidestep the sea of reporters camping out at the courthouse to cover the sensational trial of mob boss Carmine Boom Boom Carbone, so nicknamed because of his penchant for blowing up his enemies with homemade bombs. Once past the chaos outside the doors to courtroom one, they resumed. Jasmine changed her mind, she said. She now loves Doodle and she's not giving him up. For crying out loud, he's already agreed to give her the house in Palm Beach and the cabin in Maine. She deserves those, and more. Your client wouldn't have two nickels to rub together if it weren't for her father's investment in his stupid widget company. That stupid widget company is now a multi-billion dollar venture because of my client's business savvy. Because of my client's father's influence. Good Lord, he muttered, rubbing the back of his neck. Of all the courthouses in all the towns in all the world, you had to walk into mine. Why can't you stick to tax law? He snorted. Oh, right. Your client is also your cousin. Second cousin, which is completely irrelevant.
True. What's relevant is that your relative is being completely unreasonable.
She faced the snake and opened her mouth to retort when an explosion erupted behind her. Something struck the side of her head and flung her into him. Her last conscious thought was that the universe was playing some sick joke on her if it had in mind for her to die in this snake's arms.
This is from Die, My Love, A True Story of Revenge, Murder, and Two Texas Sisters by Catherine Casey.
The following morning, daylight savings time would end, and the streets would be bright at just past 6:30. But this morning, Hearthglow Lane remained shrouded in night. As the gunshots echoed through the quiet neighborhood, dogs barked in yards and frightened neighbors rousted from bed ran to windows, where they stared out into the quiet streets. Only a gray-haired salesman named Bob McArdle caught a fleeting glimpse of a mysterious figure sprinting through the neighborhood directly in front of his house. A jogger, he wondered? Perhaps. Or could this person, he couldn't tell if it was a man or woman, be responsible for the gunfire? Maybe it was only a car backfiring, the 911 dispatcher asked, questioning him. No, McArdle, a former Marine, insisted. It was gunfire. Within minutes of the 911 call, a Henrico County squad car snaked slowly down Hearthglow Lane, shining high-beam flashlights that threw shimmering funnels of light across lawns, onto front doors, and into the curtained windows of homes, where some families lingered in bed as others gathered for breakfast, preparing for the errands and plans that awaited them that Saturday. In the darkness, three uniformed officers searched but found nothing out of the ordinary on Hearthglow, convincing them the gunshots must have originated elsewhere. They fanned out, combing the rest of the neighborhood. It had happened before, reports of gunshots that were never explained, the source never found. They must have wondered, was there anything to look for in the early morning darkness? It seemed unlikely. Bloodshed was an uncommon visitor to Richmond's affluent bedroom communities called the West End. At first glance, the stately brick home at 1515 Hearthglow Lane appeared unremarkable. Inside the house, steaming coffee drained into a glass pot in the kitchen, while upstairs in their bedrooms, three children slept peacefully, unaware of the nightmare that awaited them. Once they awoke, nothing in their young lives would ever be the same. How could they ever forget the horror of this chill fall morning? Outside on the long, narrow asphalt driveway, their father, Fred Jablin, lay dying, his life leaking out in a steady stream of dark crimson blood. This is from Another Chance at Life, A Breast Cancer Survivor's Journey by Leonore Dvorkin. On August 11th, 2008, I celebrated the 10th anniversary of my left side mastectomy, an operation that marked a significant and joyous turning point in my life. This book relates some of the facts surrounding my experience with breast cancer as a disease and some details of my particular type of mastectomy. I'll tell you how I discovered the cancer, the steps that were taken to rid me of it, what kind of pain I had after the mastectomy, and what the after effects of the operation have been. I want to state at the outset that I in no way intend to say to other breast cancer survivors or patients, this is the way you should feel, this is the way you should react, this is the path of treatment you should select. Absolutely not. Your emotions and reactions and medical choices are your own. If my words can be of help and encouragement to other women who have gone through the same experience or who are going through it now, then that will be a rich reward.